us pray. Oh, Father God, today is the day that day before Jesus was born, you sent your son in the most humblest way possible we can think of. But by doing so, you show how we can glorify you. Father, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. How can you fathom that the King of the universe, the Creator, the one who was God and through whom all creation was made, came to this world such a humble way, in a place where nobody noticed except a few shepherds and magi from the east. That's the way you sent your son to this world. There gotta be a message from you. Father, let this Sunday worship service be the time that we truly contemplate how Jesus came to this world to show us how we glorify you. May your spirit continue to hover over us and minister to us, to strengthen us, so that we would become like Jesus while we are here on earth. We give all the honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to our Sunday Christmas Eve service. I was thinking about the birth of Jesus. You know, why would God send his son the way he did 2,000 years ago? You know, if God wanted to show his glory through his son Jesus, he could have sent him very differently. You know, he could have opened the heaven and created a glittering light like the northern light that may span the entire earth and put Jesus coming from heaven, being escorted by millions of angels to finally touch down the ground on earth. You know, this way everyone on earth would recognize Jesus as an undisputed and unchallenged Son of God. You know, wouldn't this be the most glorious way of Jesus coming to mankind? Yes, however, this is not the way God sent his son to humanity. You know, God had a different idea, a very different idea. Jesus was born into a human family as a vulnerable baby. Jesus was born into a human family, and from human standard, he was at par with that standard. He was actually below the standard. What did God have in mind by sending his son this way? There gotta be some message from God. So today we'll find out what that message of God by seeing the way Jesus was born into humanity. Would you please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. And here's the word of God. Therefore also God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And obviously, the Father's plan for his son, you know, to have his name be exalted above all names. That is Father's plan. You know, by seeing every tongue confess Jesus is the Lord, Father would be glorified. In other words, the ultimate purpose of the Father is the glory he would receive from his son Jesus. And when his son is exalted by every man, the Father receives the glory. This is called soli deo gloria. Soli means only, and deo is God, and gloria is glory. And this glory, God wouldn't share with anyone. And only God, only the Creator, received this glory. That's Father's plan. But in verse 8, we see a very strange thing. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, the way of fulfilling soli deo gloria through his son Jesus began with his son appearing as a man. But the way Jesus became a man was not like Jesus one day all of a sudden walking along the seashore of Galilee as an adult. You know, we are all familiar with the way Jesus came to this world. He was born in Bethlehem as an infant. And exactly the same way as you and I were born into this world. You know, I'm sure that you're born in a nice hospital. You know, all three our girls, Lindsay, Kristen, and Caitlin, were born in a nice hospital in New Jersey called St. Peter's Hospital. And our son Samuel was born in Plano Medical Center. Again, it's a nice and clean and safe hospital. And that's how all of us and all our children came to this world. But the way Jesus was born was very different. He was, you know, born below the human standards, even from the standard of the first century in Israel. The parents of Jesus tried to look for a room, you know, in because they were traveling, but there was no room available for them. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave birth to Jesus in a manger. What is the manger? Manger sounds, you know, pretty good quality thing. But manger is another name for a feeding bowl used to hold animals' food. Obviously, the manger is not the cleanest crib with clean linens. The first birthday of Jesus was so humble and only a few noticed. People were busy doing their things when Jesus was born. Strangely, only a few shepherds and a few magi from afar noticed the birth of the Messiah. So I think this brings these questions. Can God be a servant? You know, can the master of the universe become a humble servant? And can the king become a slave? You know, these questions are very inordinary, are they not? But that's the way Jesus was born and lived and died. And today's text, Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippian churches, said of Jesus as Lord to the glory to the Father. What glory did Apostle Paul have in mind? There are two kinds of glory associated with Jesus. The first kind of glory is the glory that the Son and the Father shared before the foundation of the world. Only the Creator shared this glory, and this is divine glory. The Son, Jesus Christ, shared the glory of heaven with the Father in all eternity. In Jesus' prayer, in John 17:5, Jesus mentioned this way, the glory that I had with you before the world was. So this is a divine glory. The divine glory of the Son is the nature of the Son. Jesus is forever God, and he is for the Creator. But Apostle Paul is not talking about this divine glory in his letter to the Philippian churches. He's talking about another kind of glory, which is very different from the divine glory. When Apostle Paul mentioned of Jesus as the Lord to the glory of the Father, he's talking about the glory Jesus glorified as a man. And this glory was not inherent glory of Jesus as a Son of God. This glory was attained by Son of Man as he became the servant of all. And he became the servant of all by first being born into a human family. And by the way he was born was even below a human standard. That's how he began. And as we know, he was not laid on a clean crib, but on a manger, which is rather a filthy animal feeding bowls. That's how he began to show his glory as a man. So we are going to talk about the glory Jesus accomplished as a human servant this morning. In earlier in the Philippians, verses 5 and 6, it reads this way, "Have the attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus. Did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." And verse 7, "He emptied himself, taking the form of bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." And verse 8, "He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So the reason why God highly exalted his son Jesus is because the attitude of Jesus manifested to human race by serving the humanity in full humility. And we see this in verse 9. "Therefore, also God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, at the name of Jesus." So the exaltation of God is on human named Jesus. The name of Jesus, human name, not Christ, messianic title, is exalted because Jesus' humble service to the humanity. Christ was added later when he died for the people. And when he was exalted to God's throne, his title became true title of Christ. But until then, he was a human. So Philippians 2, 10 and 11, "At the name of Jesus, human name, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the sea. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father." It didn't say every tongue should confess that Christ Jesus, but Jesus, who became Christ, is Lord to the glory to the Father. So humanity of Jesus is emphasized in the text we read today, this morning. So when Apostle Paul mentioned of Jesus being the Lord to the glory of the Father, he was talking about the glory Jesus attained himself through his service as a human servant in full humility. So what is glory? What is glory? Glory is found in Jesus who humbled himself in serving the humanity. You know, that's the second kind of glory that Apostle Paul is talking about this morning. And that is something that we need to take to our heart, especially when we are celebrating Christmas tomorrow. If you recall Luke chapter 2, angels praise. Angel appeared to the shepherds in Bethlehem, and angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." You know, there's nothing fancy about the birth of Jesus in the way he came. There's no splendor in the way that Jesus was born. And yet the angels exclaimed, "Glory to God." The shepherds were curious about the glory of God in the birth of Jesus and hurried themselves to see how God's glory would be seen in Bethlehem. So what they saw was, however, the baby as he was laid in the manger. That was glory to God. So glory of God is being redefined in the New Testament and through the birth of Jesus Christ. No splendor or fancy in this picture, but it was glory to God because the implication of this baby's life on earth. God served man, the Word became flesh through, although Word was God and Word was with God. The path to God's glory is found in service. Nothing is self-serving in Jesus, nothing is selfishness in Jesus, and nothing is self-orientation in Jesus. It was all about serving others. So the spirit of Christmas, therefore, is serving. If we miss that, we miss the whole Christmas. By serving others, Jesus glorified the Father. Jesus said in his prayer in John 17:4, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. What is the work that God has given Jesus, which Jesus accomplished unto himself while he was on earth? That work is basically, Jesus said in Mark 10:45, I came to serve. I didn't come to be served. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. So service is Jesus' work accomplished on earth, which God glorified his Father. So how shall we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Basically, to go down to serve others. And to get your hands dirty to clean up others' mess. And that's how we should celebrate the birth of Jesus. God is glorified when we serve others. Serving others in humility is the message of Christmas. You know, John Hagee said this, the measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves. And Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And if you recall, parable of Samaritan man, the first question which the priest and the Levites asked was, what will happen to me if I touch him? So they were thinking about, by touching him who is wounded, who is Gentile, they were thinking about, I will be defiled. They were self-oriented. But Samaritan reversed the question, what will happen to him if I don't help him? It was completely for serving this man. He wouldn't care what will happen to him, but what if I don't help him? What will happen to this man? He will die. So that's why he helped him. He didn't think about the impact on him by touching him, but impact of him if he doesn't help. So that is actually the Christmas spirit. What will happen to these people if I don't help? If I don't serve these people, what will happen to them? You know, that's the message of the Christmas. What will happen to humanity if I don't come and serve him? That's the attitude of Jesus. That's why he came. He deprived himself of all the privilege that he has with his Father, which is the glory, divine glory. But he set aside his divine glory for the time being. But he came, and he rolled up his sleeve to clean up our mess. Basically, that's what he did. That's the spirit of spirit of Jesus in Christmas. Here are some practical ways that you can start serving others right now. I know that our church is best known as serving, and all of you are serving in one capacity or another. I really appreciate that. But in terms of serving others, there's always more to do. There's no end of serving. So I'll give you some more list. At home, you can do the following. First, do the dishes without being asked. You know what this means? Do the dish without being asked. And clean up the bathroom and showers, also again, without being asked. I know that when your kids are little, you have to do it anyhow, but you know, clean up the bathroom and showers. And this is actually applied for children, but children are not here, but I'll give you anyhow. Offer to help a younger sibling with his or her homework. And start your parents' car so it'll be nice and warm when they hop in. Maybe you can apply to your spouse. And in your neighborhood, invite someone to your home for a lunch or even a dinner. And go around your neighborhood and pray for each household, prayer walk. Something that you can do. And at work, you can do the following. Buy someone lunch. It costs something for you, right? Time and money, but this is one way to serve them. And pray for the sick. There are already sick people at work. And offer them, would you mind if I pray for you? I have seen anyone wouldn't want a prayer offer. And nobody actually in my life to date wouldn't want a prayer when they were sick. And produce good works for your employer with excellence in all due, whether it's a presentation, writing a memorandum, or even conference calls, produce good works. And listen to other people. You know, it's a lot of work to listen. It's a serving them, actually, understanding what their concerns are. And at church, you can do the following. Come on time for the sake of others who came to prepare for the service. Amen? It's a small thing, but actually, it's not a small thing. Come on time. I mean, God will honor that, but also you will respect those people who come earlier to serve you. And appreciate with words of encouragement to those who are involved in ministry. Worship team, how many times have you ever say thank you to the worship team? I don't know. Have you ever? And to the teachers and to the pastors. It's a small thing, but it's not a small thing. And write an encouraging note to church members. And be a volunteer to be a greeter and to be a babysitter. We have a baby. We can offer sitting a baby. It's not a small thing. It's a service that glorifies God. And pray for the sick on Sunday. If you notice someone who are distressed physically or spiritually, offer to pray. And help the needy by spending your time. You know, it's kind of seeking out if others have need from you and you can help. So John, Mark 10:45, Jesus said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, life of Jesus is basically, in a nutshell, he gave his life away for the sake of the sinners, but he just didn't die on the cross. From the birth, all his life, he served people. Slowly, steadily, and at the last 3 years, he served more, and he reached out to basically every people that he knew of around him. And he He never refused to pray for the sick. And he was preaching, he was going around the villages and finding the need of people, and he tried to help. And eventually, he sacrificed himself on the cross to save us from our bondage of sin. So Jesus, being born in a human family, Jesus began his service and until his death. And his father was glorified when his son served man. May the spirit of servanthood come powerfully to all of us this Christmas, so that we all would emulate Jesus. The message of Christmas is this: glorify God by serving others. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we cannot even express how thankful we are for your service to the whole humanity, including our generation and even each one of us. You came to serve. You came to lift us up. You came to clean up our mess. We thank you for your incarnation. Tomorrow is your birthday. Let your humility and let your spirit of servanthood be powerfully made to all of us as we are encountering another Christmas. Let this Christmas not be another Christmas, but a special Christmas as we would render service to the needy in our life, just to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Father God, we just want to thank you for your love and for your plans and for your truth that you have revealed to us through your Son Jesus. Let us hold on to Jesus no matter what happens in our life, his words and his life and his attitude, especially the attitude of servanthood, attitude of humility, be made us all in this Christmas season. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of year.
Me too, me too.
I get so many gifts and all the yummy food.
I get to see all my cousins and we have so much fun.
I like to see all the decorations and sparkling lights.
And Santa Claus and reindeer.
And everyone is so happy and jolly, but I wonder why.
Why do we celebrate Christmas?
Well, we knew you'd be curious, so we are going to tell you today the true meaning of Christmas.
C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S.
C is for Christ. Christ means the anointed one or the chosen one. Christ Jesus is the Savior of the world, the chosen one who came to save the world.
H is for holy. We came to be sinners, and God is holy. You see, because God is perfectly holy, sin cannot be with him. Jesus came so he would wash away our sins as white as snow.
R is for restoration. That's a big word. It means to return and be put back to the original condition. By making us pure and righteous, Jesus restored our relationship with God and made us children of God.
I is for infant. When Jesus came, he came as an infant in a lowly manger. He cried and nursed and grew up in a little town called Nazareth. He was born as a human baby into the arms of a human mother, just like you and me.
S is for Son of God. Even though Jesus came to earth as a human baby, he's the Son of God. The Bible says, for by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things are created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and through Jesus all things hold together. Jesus became man, but he's also God.
T is for toys. I'm kidding. T is for truth. Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the one true God. Believing in Jesus is the only way to eternal life. All other gods are false and cannot save us.
M is for mystery. Can you understand the mystery of it all? Jesus gave up heaven to come to earth as a baby and to die on the cross for you and me. Why would a God give up anything? How could a creator sacrifice himself for his creation? The sacrificial love of God is such a profound mystery that it baffles the wisest of men.
A is for all is well. Because Jesus came, all is well. We have peace with God. God's word, Father, all is well.
S is for sing. So when I think of Christmas, I think of Jesus and why he came. He came because he loves us and he couldn't stay away. When I remember this, all I can do is sing. All I can do is thank him, worship, and praise him. And because he gave up himself up for me, I want to give him the very best gift.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas!